Michigan State University has a history of activism when it comes to investments. In 1972, a handful of students and professors called on MSU to disinvest or divest from corporations in and those doing business with countries in southern Africa where black citizens were oppressed by white governments, such as Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and, of course, South Africa. Joining us now is David Wiley, Michigan State Professor Emeritus of Sociology and African Studies. He was involved in that early movement. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Michigan State was the first public university to divest from South Africa during the apartheid era, but it took some time before it got there. What was the initial reaction from the university's administration and trustees when students and faculty called for divestiture?
Well, I think as in most universities in the United States, there was a great concern about what will this do to contributions to our endowment. And is there a danger of our losing, funding and alienating important donors, especially those in Michigan, especially the Kellogg Foundation and Corporation and Dow Chemical, which had provided fellowships in chemical engineering and others, similar ones. So there's a fear that why don't we go with, asking the corporations to increase their benefits to their African employees rather than simply breaking off the relationship with them through a divestiture action.
Right. The auto companies were involved in that situation, too. What were the arguments against divesting in companies doing business in countries where governments officially sanction racism?
Well, there was a feeling that, why don't we go with what was eventually called the Sullivan Principles, where Reverend Leon Sullivan, who just served on the General Motors Board, came up with a list of improvements that could be made within South Africa, such as increasing the benefits or wages of employees of color, integrating cafeterias and other similar pro-desegregation actions. The feeling was, why don't we do something positive instead of, quote, doing something negative?
Yeah, it doesn't do much for the people who are not employees of U.S. companies, though, does it?
No, it didn't. And actually, the unions in many of these employees, especially in the auto industry, in solidarity with United Auto Workers in Michigan, which had a very early sanctions policy under Walter Reuther, called on the to support the divestiture movement. So there was feeling, that they were willing to give up their temporary benefits in order to bring the sanctions that everyone agreed were needed to move the South African government off of their commitment to apartheid.
Tell me about the anti-apartheid movement at Michigan State University. What did that look like?
Well, it was. It started in 1972 when a group of kind of post-Vietnam protest students and faculty, four of them to be exact, got together and formed a thing called the Southern Africa Liberation Committee. Their first action was to ask the city of East Lansing to commit to a policy of not purchasing products from companies that supported apartheid by practicing in South Africa without regard to their racial discrimination policy. Finally, by 1977, the small group there, with presentations at the city council and so on, convinced the East Lansing City Council to be one of the first local governments to pass a sanctions action. We actually don't know if how successful it was. There wasn't a monitoring or a penalty provision, so our suspicion is that they continue to buy Ford and General Motors vehicles for the city police and services and the like. So it was that small group then that then finally grew and interestingly attracted the interest of the MSU tennis coach, whose brother-in-law had been deported by the South Africans from what was to become Namibia as an Episcopal missionary. And he joined the group, and he and his wife, Pat, became the spark plugs of this group with all sorts of literature tables, film showings, testimony, guests coming in, bringing black South Africans to speak on campus and the like. So there was lots of effort there, and eventually that was transferred and took place in the Michigan Capitol as well, with film showings and testimony to the legislature, calling on the state of Michigan to follow the MSU example.
Let me talk about the MSU example for a bit, though. It took years, but there was a moment when the light bulb went on for them. What triggered that?
Well, I think it was the fact that we had two African-American members of the Board of Trustees, one Republican and one Democrat, elected in statewide elections, and they supported it within the trustees and opened up hearings by faculty with expertise on South Africa and to the student organizations, the Associated Students of MSU and the Council of Graduate Students, who had come forward to support MSU sanctions, to give testimony there. And so it actually was the Republican African-American who actually made the proposal for divestiture on the Board of Trustees. But I think there was also had been a lot of interpersonal lobbying with members of the board outside of their meetings as well. And we were coming out of the history of the protest against the Vietnam War. And plus, there really is in the land-grant universities, if you read the land-grant charter signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1856, you know, it says that the work of the land-grant university is support basically the laboring classes of the state. And I think that gives a kind of a very pro-democratic and pro-labor stance on the part of the land-grant university in shaping its program. And that leads to an openness to activism to change the structures of injustice that exist both in the United States and abroad.
As you noted, the state of Michigan also passed three laws that basically called for divestiture in South Africa. So let's go back to what's happening today. Students are calling for transparency. What would you advise the students who are calling for that transparency and investments by Michigan State University? What do you think they ought to do?
Well, they first of all have to realize that it's a long-term effort. In this time when we have this major shift with a more progressive Congress and with the rise of the new women legislators in Congress, I think there's a moment where, if you will, the stasis of the past couple of decades has been broken, and it makes for more possibility to do things. So with that in mind, one has to come up with a long-term plan. One has to do public education. One needs to highlight the injustices that one wants to address, and one has to bring a series of speakers and use the academic process to bring intelligence and perspective on the injustices that they're wanting to be addressed through the transparency.
David Wiley is a professor emeritus of sociology and African studies at Michigan State University. Thanks for telling us about your history.
You're welcome.